Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. This week, we're joined by Tom Abbott, Managing Director of SoCo Sales Training, to talk about LinkedIn for outbound selling. Great to have you on the show, Tom.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm really pumped to talk about how you can use LinkedIn to try to increase your sales.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about you and your company, SoCo Sales Training.
Hey, sure. Okay, I love to talk about myself. I'm the founder and managing director of SoCo Sales Training. SoCo stands for the Sales Optimization Company. And I started this company about 21 years ago. I think it was 1999 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where I'm from. And in the last 20 plus years, we've been working with multinational companies all around the world and helping their sales teams optimize their sales process. We moved to Singapore about 10 years ago, so Singapore has been our HQ and our home for the last decade or so, and in that time, we've been delivering customized sales training programs to organizations and sales teams all around the region, so all over APAC, usually about 20 countries throughout the year. I've got a team where we deliver training, and then I also deliver motivational sales keynotes, so I'm also a speaker on the big stage. I've talked to audiences as large as 12,000 people in Jakarta. So that's kind of my thing. And, you know, our motto is we never want someone to lose a sale because they can't sell. So we're all about helping them optimize their process and get better.
Awesome. So one thing we always like to ask our guests before we really dive into the topic is, what is one thing that no one listening to this podcast will know about you?
Well, I think anyone who really knows me will know this as like obvious as part of who I am, but for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm a huge tennis fan. So tennis, I'm addicted to the sport. I've been playing since I was like 5 years old. My dad first taught me. So I used to watch Wimbledon, Borg, and McEnroe when I was growing up, and Jimmy Connors, and Lendl, and Becker, and Edberg, and Sampras, and Agassi, and now Federer, and Nadal, and Djokovic. I mean, these are the gods, man. So I'm a tennis nut, and I travel the world. I mean, my wife and I and our kids, we love to travel, whether it's Shanghai or Dubai. We've been to Rome. We've been to Melbourne for the Australian Open. We've been to Paris for Roland Garros, the French Open. So we just travel all over to watch tennis tournaments. Not so much these days, of course, but hopefully again very soon.
I love that. Yeah, my wife and I are the same. I played tennis competitively all the way through college in the States. All right, so let's dig in here, Tom. I'd love to kind of start out by giving listeners just a little bit of background on the history of social selling. What do we mean when we say social selling? I know you're working kind of at the forefront of the sales industry, working with a ton of different companies over the last 20 years, helping understand new processes and adopt kind of the leading edge techniques. And so curious, just from your perspective, kind of when did you really see social selling start to kind of really gain steam and pick up momentum? And then what did that change look like for salespeople really kind of all over the world?
So, you know, let's unpack that. So we're talking about, you know, social selling. So maybe we'll start with like, well, what exactly is it? So, you know, to me, simply put, social selling is using technology, using social media platforms and tools and apps, right? So for me, social selling is about how do you prospect? So how do you actually find leads? How do you position yourself as an authority in your space? And then how do you present effectively? So it's using social media and it's using technology, whether it's using apps on your computer or apps on your phone. But it's really, it doesn't replace traditional selling in terms of, it doesn't replace picking up the phone and calling someone. It doesn't replace going out and meeting someone in person, although it kind of does today, doesn't it? Noticing a shift was probably in the early 2000s. I mean, you know, look, once we had email and we had websites, then you knew the world was going to change if you were paying attention. You knew that you'd be able to send information to people lightning fast using your computer, right? So that was email. And then you also knew that with websites, you were able to basically have your brochure online, for lack of a better term. So when you actually called up prospects, they would already have some idea of who you are and what you do. You could direct people to certain pages so they could get more information. And then, of course, as internet speeds picked up Now all of a sudden you've got tons of photos on websites and of course video on websites. So you're using it as a sales tool if you're smart and you're thinking about it. So then of course Facebook started I think back in 2007 and I got an account right away. Communicate a message and start a conversation with people in a way that you never could before. Like honestly, social media has changed. I mean, this is just gonna sound so obvious or cliche, but it literally changed the way people sell. Because before, to reach customers, you'd have to advertise and market and you'd have to pay for that. But now with social media, you've got these free platforms that you can now reach people. So in 2015, I started noticing that LinkedIn was starting to really become more of a platform of choice for B2B selling, and that LinkedIn was moving away from being strictly a recruitment job seeker site where you go to try to find jobs or post your resume or look for candidates. But it started becoming a place for sellers to try to connect with buyers. And that was a huge shift. So once I started seeing that, then I realized, okay, look, I think it's time for me to start talking about this. So I actually wrote the book, Social Selling, in 2015. And the whole purpose of that book was I wanted it to be kind of, honestly, a book or a tool that I wish I had maybe 5 years earlier. I wish someone had written a book about how do you use social media to prospect, position, and present. So I wrote that book, and now fast forward 5 years to 2020, and due to you know global circumstances beyond our control, now sales reps are forced to adopt social selling as part of their sales toolkit. And I believe that even once you know things kind of go back to normal, whatever that looks like, we're never going to see people going back to the way things were 110% before. There's going to be this hybrid where people are going to start to realize, you know what? I actually like meeting with people on video, on Zoom, on camera. I love sending short video clips to people using you know Drift Video or WhatsApp Video or any other platform. It's easier. I mean, in our case, I can sell to people in 5 different countries. I can have 5 sales meetings in 5 countries in a day. Whereas, you know, previously you'd have to hop on a plane and go to all five. So I'm not missing immigration queues anymore, and I'm certainly not missing cramped seats on airplanes.
For sure. So that, I think that's really helpful to just give us the context in order to dive deeper and really understand the intricacies within LinkedIn, since that's going to be the focus of this conversation. So when I think about leveraging LinkedIn for outbound selling, and let's kind of leave prospecting aside, totally agree that it's most people use LinkedIn Sales Nav as one of their tools when prospecting. But I think about a couple different primary uses, and maybe this is more like the presenting bucket when you laid out those 3 pieces of social selling. You know, so one use case being when you're reaching out cold, another is using it to progress a deal, so more of kind of a warm reach out, so progressing deals that are already in the pipeline. I'd love to kind of dig in and just get some tactics and like some really actionable pieces from you for each of these scenarios. So let's start with the first one. How do you think about effectively leveraging LinkedIn when you're reaching out cold to a prospect?
Okay, so if you're reaching out cold to someone that doesn't know who you are at all, LinkedIn's great. And you don't even need Sales Navigator to do this. Yeah, I know exactly who I'm going after. I know that it's, you know, Jane Doe at ABC Corp. So I'm just going to do a quick search and find her on LinkedIn. So now it comes, and that's super easy. And what's great about that is you can take a look and see, okay, so what's her role? How long has she been there? Look at her activity. What is she posting? What's important to her right now in her life, in her business? What content is she posting? And also her activity, what comment is she liking and commenting on from other people? So that's going to give you really great insights into what's going on inside Jane's brain, right? So I love that. So you want to do some scoping out, observing first before you reach out.
Yeah, so let's say you've done the prospecting, you've identified, you've kind of used your ICP and your buyer persona to narrow in on who am I actually going after, who is my kind of product or service relevant to. Then I think where a lot of people actually get hung up and probably spend way too much time beating themselves up over the right thing to do is like, what's the best when it comes to order of operations? Do I send a connect request without a note, with a note? Do I send them an in-mail? Do I
Okay.
maybe try to engage with a comment or post and then hope that they accept a thing like 2 weeks later? I think people go through this like laundry list of, all right, I found this person, but now I don't really. It's kind of like when I imagine when we all go back to normal post-COVID, we're gonna, be in a bar and not really know how to talk to each other in person anymore. I think
Right.
people kind of get some of that same anxiety when it comes to LinkedIn. So I would love to like just get into, and maybe there's no silver bullet here because I feel like there rarely is, but I would love to get your best practices on the actual kind of like, okay, now what? Like I've gotten
Okay.
this person, what do I do now?
So here's what's working for us and what works for our customers. Number one, I hate in-mails. That's just me. Okay. To me, in-mail is like a pay-to-play, and it's like you couldn't reach me any other way than buy my audience, to buy my presence, right? And the problem with in-mails is they cost you credit, so you got to pay for those things. And if you've got all these in-mails out there but they don't respond, you don't get that credit back. Usually when people send an in-mail, they've got this salesy, spammy mindset to begin with, right? So usually the in-mails that I receive from people are crappy in-mails, right? They're just bad because their whole thought process around how do I prospect is flawed. So every step they take is maybe not a great one. It doesn't build any credibility, and like right off the bat, I'm like, ooh, an in-mail, ugh. And I usually just delete them or say not interested or whatever. So I'm not a big fan of that. When you do send a connection request, though, absolutely send a message. There needs to be some personalization. Why do you want to connect with me? And why should I care? Like, why should I connect with you? It's actually less about why are you trying to reach me as much as why do I want to click accept? Okay, that's really important. So look, I have about 25,000 followers on LinkedIn, and I get a lot of connection requests every day. And I always take a look and I scan through. If there's a message, I love to read the message, okay? And if it seems like there's a good fit, hey, for sure, I'll accept them as a connection. If there's no message and I'm not quite feeling it, I won't accept it, but the good news is they'll still follow me anyway. For sure, start with a personalized message. It could be as simple as, hey Evan, I'm reaching out because. Say because. What's the reason why you're reaching out? Hey Evan, I'm reaching out because, I'm a big fan of your podcast, or, I love that episode shared last week with so and so, and I was inspired by it, or, I really like the tips that you shared, so, let's keep in touch. You're probably going to accept that. Because I'm not coming across like a salesy, spammy jerk. It's like, hey, right on, cool. And I respond to those. When people connect with me and go, hey, Tom, I heard you on your Selling in Asia podcast, or I've been following you on LinkedIn for a while, but I'd love to connect. Sure, why not? So I think that's really important. Or if you have someone in common, like, hey, Evan, we know each other through so and so, and I thought it would be good for us to connect, right? I think that's really good. Non-salesy, okay? Non-salesy. Now, when they accept, then, so we've created a sequence, okay? All right, so we've got a sequence of about four messages that go out. So usually once someone accepts our invitation to connect, about 24 hours later, because you don't want to seem too eager, I'll just drop them a quick reply. I'll be like, thanks for connecting, Evan. If there's anything you need, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to help.
Just kind of open the door.
That's message number two. Non-salesy. Thanks for connecting. If there's anything you need, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to help. Simple. Okay? Don't attach a PDF. Don't send a brochure. Don't send a link to your website. Do not ask, hey, have you got 10 minutes for a quick chat to see if we're a fit? Don't do any of that nonsense. once they've just connected with you, because that's the quickest way that I then remove your connection. Okay? Let's build a relationship here, okay? Let's start something. Go easy, big fella, right? Chill out, all right? So that's the second message. And then the third, so do you want to start talking about nurturing, or where do you want to go?
Let's keep going on this. I think it's really helpful. I think it's just really helpful, like actionable advice for listeners. And the other kind of refreshing piece about it is, it doesn't sound hard, right? It sounds pretty simple. It sounds pretty straightforward as long as you kind of follow the process. And
it's totally doable. You just map it out.
Yeah.
That's what we've done. We've just written down the scripts, and then anybody can replicate it, right? And, you know, you split test, you tweak it, you see what word works, what word doesn't work. I mean, we fine-tuned it over years to see what wording gets people to accept our invitation to connect, okay? Because that's a big one, right?
Yeah.
So what wording is non-threatening that will get people to just click accept, right? It's all you want. Sales is just about, I want you to say yes to the next little thing.
Right. How can I sell you on the next step?
That's it. Right. I'm not trying to book a call. I'm not trying to get you to engage us for sales training. I'm not trying to get you to book me on a big stage at your next sales kickoff. Not yet. Okay. Right now, I just want you to accept my invitation to connect. Can we do that? Okay, great. Now I'm just going to, thanks for connecting. Hey, if there's anything you need, I'm happy to help. Right? Feel free to reach out. Right? It's if you need something, you ask me. That's fine. Okay? And then the third message, which you can send maybe a week later, so you got to space things out, give people some time. So about a week later, well, then you can follow up with, you know, a value message where, you know, maybe you say something like, you know, hey, Evan, happy Tuesday. You know, I just delivered a virtual session for a team on how to stay motivated during, you know, this COVID time. I recorded the session, you know, feel free to give it a listen. It might be worthwhile for you and your team. Check it out. Give them something. Just give them something.
Yep.
So we track the responses as well to that message. And we usually get things like, hey, great, thanks, Tom. Cool, I'll check it out. You know, and then they'll, I appreciate it. You know, what do you do again or whatever? But that's a selling piece. It's a credibility building piece, a proof device. But at the same time, you're just coming bearing gifts, right? So you've got to be very careful. It can't be like, you know, hey, here's me on the big stage motivating an audience. Look how great I am. It can't be that.
Right. I could do your conference next. It's just.
Right. It can't be that.
Value. Right.
It's just like, you know, hey, I spoke at this conference on this topic, and if you want some of those tips, just, you know, check out this blog post or just watch this short video, and feel free to share it with your team if you think that it's useful, right? But it's
super non-invasive,
non-invasive
value. Yeah, makes right. sense.
So now you've had three touches that are pretty soft, right? So, you know, the fourth message, if you want, you could then start moving it to the next level if you want. And then again, that could be 1 week later or even 2 weeks later, up to you, right? So that fourth message, for example, could be something like, you know, hey, Evan, quick question. You know, who'd be the best person at ABC Company to have an initial chat about training your sales team? Quick question, who'd be the best person? And every time we do that, they say, it's Julie. Here's her email address or here's her LinkedIn profile. It's been amazing because I think because of the goodwill and the buildup, okay? Now, here's what also helps. You have to have a great LinkedIn profile because what ends up happening is, of course, as you're messaging people, they're checking you out. Who are you? Where are you from? What's your company? What do you do? Who have you worked with? What kind of content are you sharing?
Not really like that. And I want to... I have one more piece I want to dive into when it comes to kind of warm leads or folks that are already in your pipeline, because I think I'd love to hear tips on when you don't have that following, how you can also kind of beef up your profile so that you're also still coming across as an authority and credible when doing stuff outreach. But so first, when we think about this other bucket of progressing deals that are already in your pipeline, leveraging LinkedIn, what are some of the best practices here? Should you be, I feel like people also go through that same exercise of Do I connect with every single person I meet in the sales process? Am I requesting them right away? Do I wait? Message, no message, all kind of all those same
I
pieces.
connect with everybody right away. So look, I was on a sales call with four different sales leaders representing different teams and different markets and different products within the same company. And we were talking about doing training for all of their different reps, okay, different teams. Of course, before the meeting, everybody, before the meeting, I connected with each and every one of them. Of course, I'm going to connect with them so they can check me out before the meeting, so they know who they're talking to, and I'm going to check them out as well and just get familiar with their background and what their role is specifically, see if there's anything we have in common, some common groups. Are there people that they're following on social that they really like? I mean, I can check out their activity, right? So you come to a meeting armed with that information. So 100%, absolutely, connect with everybody pre-meeting. Then after the meeting, same kind of thing. You're going to still follow them on social, take a look at what they're doing, and comment on some of their stuff. Just remain present, okay? Remain present. Non-salesy. Don't drop them messages or comment on their stuff. Hey, any follow-up to our meeting last week? That's nonsense. Don't do that on LinkedIn, okay? But comment on some of their posts or comment on their comments to other people's posts so that you're visible, you're top of mind, and you're seen. Something I heard some time ago was you should be striving to get the most likes on your comment on someone else's post. Okay, that's how you know you're a thought leader and you're building a following. When someone else posted something and you comment on that and you got the most likes on your comment.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's a good goal. Okay, so that makes sense. And so when we think about now, there's a stat of in today's world, it takes 6.8 people on average to make a purchasing decision. Multi-threading an organization during selling is kind of more important than ever, especially as we've gone remote in this COVID environment. And so it sounds like the primary play here for deals that are already in progress, that are in your pipeline, make sure that you're connecting with different stakeholders as you're meeting them, and then just trying to stay present, trying to stay top of mind by liking, commenting, sharing, and also just generally posting things that are going to position you as an authority in the space.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to want to have different kinds of content. So there's content that you share to kind of let people know who you are, right? Kind of like introductory content. But then there's also content that you can share with people as you're nurturing a lead. Like maybe they're not ready to buy right now, but it's kind of in process. Well, there's some content that you might be wanting to share that will get them thinking about, oh, wow, these guys are really good. That it's very simple. You don't even need fancy video. My gosh. In fact, LinkedIn even prefers text-based posts over video and certainly anything with external links taking you off of LinkedIn. So I've seen some posts, and we're going to do more of this because we're really good on video. We love video. And I'm having to tell my team, hey guys, am I allowed to just do a text-only post every once in a while? Can I do that? And I know they're so much into, the nice videos with the big bold fonts and the captions under it, because we do get a lot of people that love those videos, and I'm very comfortable on video and I love
Deep
doing
to
it.
consume, yeah.
Totally. But I'll tell you something. The minute you throw up just a text-only post, within half an hour to an hour, I've gotten like 1,000 views on that thing. So, you start comparing that against the videos, and you're like, that's pretty good for nothing but text. So it's good to play around with it so that you give your audience a different look every now and again, and you can also appeal to different people. Some people love video, some people actually like to read a bit more long form text. So go figure.
Awesome. So that I think that's really helpful tactical advice for how to be using LinkedIn effectively when you're reaching out cold, as well as how to be using it effectively when it's a bit warmer and it's just one of the tools that you're trying to use to progress deals, position yourself as an authority in your space. What should founders and sales reps generally be kind of posting on LinkedIn? Should One question I wanted to dive into here was, should everyone have, a personal brand and be trying to build up a big LinkedIn following? For me, I feel a bit conflicted here, as I would think it kind of depends largely on who your ICP and buyer persona are and kind of who you're targeting, and are they living on LinkedIn? A certain industries, certain buyer personas, it's still not as popular. So would love to get your thoughts.
Sure. Okay. So, I mean, the short answer is it depends. And something that I wrote in chapter one of social selling is chapter one is find your audience. So, I don't want to tell anybody here listening, oh, you better be on LinkedIn. No. Okay. Let me put a, an asterisk beside that or a footnote. It's if you sell to other businesses, if you're in the B2B space, then yeah, you probably should be on LinkedIn because that's where they are. Now, Facebook, look, and it's all about mindset as well, okay? So, look, most people have a Facebook account. That's just the fact. Most people have a Facebook account. Most people have a Facebook account over a LinkedIn account, okay? But that's not the only thing you need to be looking at. We need to be looking at context. So, when I'm scrolling on Facebook, that's in maybe my lunch break or after work at night and I'm getting ready for bed, or I'm just watching Netflix on TV and I'm just watching YouTube videos and I'm scrolling on my
Different mindset.
totally different mindset. Do not interrupt the space that I'm in. Okay? 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night when I'm watching, Shark Tank. Well, actually Shark Tank's kind of business, but if I'm watching, Ozark or something, I'm just in the mood for stuff that's, light and easy, consumable. Okay? I don't want to be hit up on LinkedIn. So I'm not in a sales space. But Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, when someone's on LinkedIn, it's like you don't go on LinkedIn if you're not looking for business. So that's the place to be. So I think for sure, if you're in a B2B space, definitely you need to be on LinkedIn. Even if you're in a B2C space and you sell to consumers, for example, but you still want to have a professional profile on LinkedIn, but that maybe isn't where you build your audience. So maybe you build your audience on Instagram or on Facebook, okay, or Twitter, I mean, which is not big at all in Asia, particularly Singapore, but certainly in North America and in the US, it's big. So you want to maybe build your following there. So the only advice that I would give is, you need to talk to your top 10 customers and ask them, what's the best platform for me to reach you? What's your favorite platform? Where do you spend most of your working time? Okay? And then just listen for the answer. And if 70 or 80% are pointing you in a certain direction of a certain platform, well, then that's where you need to be. So we're on everything, right? So we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Just Because, WhatsApp. We're on Telegram as well because we've got some customers they love Telegram. So we started digging deeper into Telegram, and now I connect with people individually on Telegram and WeChat, by the way. So you just need to be present where your customers are present, and it's going to be a whole lot easier for you.
Great.
So to your question about, personal branding, I mean, the short answer is I heard, I think it was Jeff Bezos, I think, that said, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. Your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. So you don't even have to try to build a brand. You have a brand. It's just, is your brand memorable? What do they think about when they think of you? Okay? So when people think of Tom Abbott and think of SoCo Sales Training, they think of sales tips, positivity, energy, you can do it, never say die, optimism, hope, wisdom. I mean, you've got a podcast, I've got a podcast, so what makes our podcast distinct? Well, ours is the first and only to date Selling in Asia podcast. It's all about how to sell in Asia because selling in different parts of the world is different. Not everything is exactly the same. So we have a podcast that's very specific to our audience. They're like, oh, you mean this? We don't have to just listen to another US, Anglo-centric podcast on how to sell to Thais, to Vietnamese, to Koreans, to Chinese, to Filipinos, to Indonesians, to Indians, right? To Malaysians, to Singaporeans. I mean, my God, I've got like 10 or 15 different nationalities within a 3 to 4 hour flight from me. So our content has to resonate and be relevant to those people, right? So what's your thing? What are you known for? What do you specialize in? And you've got to communicate that to your audience so that they know why should they choose you over all of the other options that they have available to them. And that's really what, personal branding is all about.
So when you think about going back to one of your earlier points where can I connect with people you're going to meet with ahead of the meeting? That way you can kind of get to know each other and do a little bit of research ahead of time. Everybody's going to come that much more prepared. If you don't have the big following already, which a lot of people don't, how else can you build up your profile so that when people are checking it out, they think, oh, this person's credible. This person has is interesting insights. Maybe it's more content focused. Maybe there's some type of format they should be following. You just spoke to the importance of building up that following, but what should people be doing in the interim to still be kind of putting their best foot forward?
Just start building content. I mean, look, I've got 25,000 followers, which is, I was just chatting with a good friend of mine, Natalia, the other day, and she's got 85,000 followers on LinkedIn. And I was like, oh, damn, I felt so humbled, okay? So look, but we all started from zero, okay? We all started from zero. And I don't know, I can't speak for her, but I don't think any of us have gone into this with the goal of trying to amass a certain amount of followers, before we're ready to do something. It's just like, no. I started on LinkedIn with zero connections and started to slowly build those connections and start putting out content, right? Just start producing content and start sharing content with people. And if it's valuable content, if people like it, your following will grow. And things are going pretty well when your content starts reaching second and third party connections. And people start sharing it. And then all of a sudden people start tagging their colleagues in your posts. And they're like, you need to read this. That's when you really feel good about yourself. When you feel like your audience has shared your content and they're tagging and inviting people to come and consume it. That's when you've got something good, and that starts to build your audience. So it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, but don't focus on the audience. Don't focus on building the audience. Focus on giving to the audience.
Yeah, it's a little bit like when I think about revenue, for instance. Revenue is kind of it's kind of the end result, right? It's not what's your it's not really the goal in and of itself. It is like the end result of you delivering value to customers. So it's interesting the parallels there. So what are some common mistakes that people make when they're doing outbound selling on LinkedIn?
Common mistakes they make with outbound? I think the biggest mistake people make with outbound is two things. It's always, okay, I talk about three things. I talk about medium, message, and momentum. Okay, so these are kind of three things that I talk about. I did a session, I came up with this, I developed this keynote, I was focusing on outbound, and I realized that it tends to come down to three things, and it's medium, message, and momentum. So medium, the thing that people do wrong on LinkedIn is it's the wrong medium for them. Or their post, so their ideal target customer is not on LinkedIn. So what are they doing there? Okay? Just like I see people on Facebook, and it drives me crazy, I don't understand why. A lot of speakers who I know sell to corporates feel like they need to get recognition and praise and pats on the back from other speakers on Facebook or regular people on Facebook, like consumers. I don't know what that need for validation from the masses is from some people. Like, we don't do a lot on Facebook for a reason. I don't care if, like, I don't need all of my friends on Facebook to know that I'm a sales trainer. Like, I don't, they know that, but I don't have to sell to my friends on Facebook. I don't need that.
They'll be your friend either way.
They're my friend either way. And most friends on Facebook will never pay for your services because they're your friend. Okay? Let's just keep
Yeah,
it simple.
they'll just ask you at dinner next week.
Exactly. It's like, hey, I just want to pick your brain over coffee, Tom, right? So that's what friends do, okay? So stop trying to sell to your friends. That's number one. And make sure it's the right medium. So if you're on LinkedIn, for example, you need to look around and see, well, what do other successful people on LinkedIn post? What do they share? How do they do it? What content does best on that platform? So where people go wrong is they've chosen the wrong medium or the wrong message on the medium, okay? So the messaging is bad. It's not congruent with themselves or consistent with the platform, or it's just bad copywriting, bad scripting, bad messaging. They're following up with people and they're just asking for the sale right away or asking for, you know, can we put 15 minutes in your calendar, right? They're putting a calendar link in there right away. So the messaging is all wrong. Or momentum. So what do I mean by momentum? Is the sequence or the cadence or the timing of their messaging. So you need to, you know, space things out when you're doing outbound so you're not overwhelming people, but have a tight cadence. So, you know, maybe it's every, you know, between 2 and 5 days you're following up with people. And then there's an end to that sequence, right? Which is a, you know, hey, sorry, we couldn't connect, or, you know, maybe it isn't the right time for you. Can I circle back in a few months or something? So there has to be a start and an end to this campaign. And the momentum of posting. Most people on social media, they're not consistent. They're not consistent. They get excited. They're like, yes, this is the month. I'm going to crush it on LinkedIn. And they do one great post, but then they got nothing tomorrow, right? So just start by being, you know, consistent. Don't try to make your post the best post in the world. I'm a big believer in 80% good and now versus 100% and too late. So just get active now on social and be consistent. Come up with a content marketing calendar or a social selling calendar and just start planning things and just be consistent with it and you'll start to see things grow.
I love that. I'm also such a big believer in progress over perfection. And I think that's especially with the early stage startups we work with, it's such an important value to keep at the forefront of people's minds. So Tom, we've covered a ton of ground here. Are there any final thoughts, tips, or tricks you want to leave folks with to summarize?
You know, I think what I want to leave people with is this feeling, this belief that LinkedIn could be the platform for you. And that if you put your effort into it, you really can build a following fairly quickly. It's not saturated and it really rewards content. It's not a platform that rewards, you know, good-looking people. You know, it's not Instagram. It's a platform for smart people who want to help other people solve problems. It's where business people go.
Yeah, of course.
So LinkedIn, to me, honestly, is the place to be if you're in business. There's still so much room to grow there. And I think people are hungry for content. They're hungry for your content. So go for it.
Love that. Awesome. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time. I know it's really late there in Singapore, but we really appreciate it. I'm sure listeners do too. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure, Evan. And if anyone wants to learn more or connect with me, you can find me on LinkedIn at SoCo Selling on LinkedIn. Take care, everyone. Thanks.